the things I learned in college in a pastoral class, don't start till you're ready. So always get everything ready. But it's kind of hard to get things ready in the middle of preaching, right? It's good to be here. It's always good to be called on and entrusted with preaching a message that God gives you. Today I want to speak about why Christians are called to commitment. Now, the last couple of sermons I've preached has started with why. You know, why we can overcome temptation. Remember what that was? Just say no. Simple. Say, God will not allow you to be tempted above that which you're able to stand, but he will make a way of escape, and that escape route is no. I'm not going to do it. Simple. But you have to have a committed heart to God. You have to be committed to say, you know, already in your mind that when a temptation comes, I'm going to say no. If I can't do this, what I'm tempted to do in front of God, then maybe I'd best just go on down the road. So why are Christians called to commitment? We're called to do a lot of things. But commitment, I was told early in my ministry, if you want to leave a pastorate, you want to go somewhere else, just start preaching on commitment and dedication. And you're gone. Why don't we like the commitment? Why don't we like dedication? Why don't we? Well, you've committed yourself. Now you're responsible for what you've committed to. Commitment. What do you think that means? When you do a commitment, when you give a commitment, you are doing what? You are turning control of something over to someone else. And we don't like to do that. We like to control our own thoughts. But if I commit my ways to the Lord, and he's promised if you commit your ways to me, I'll direct your path. Well, that's nice. Who better can direct your path than him? I tried doing it myself, directing my own path, and I set myself up to fail. And you will. Commitment, not only you turn over control of something, it's also a promise to someone or something else. Over my 40 years of ministry, I have officiated many weddings and funerals. And in a wedding, a couple comes forward and they commit themselves to each other. And forsaking all others, I commit myself unto you. Until death separates us. You're promising. And another commitment is when we are at the graveside, and a lot of preachers will say, and now we commit this body to the ground. Dust to dust, ashes to ashes. Now the earth has control. So commitment, when you commit yourself to do something for God, well, if I come to an altar and I get saved and now I have to commit myself and maybe I don't want to do what he wants me to commit to. Seemed like when missionaries would come and preach, I always hated it because I just knew that God was calling me to go to Africa someplace where they didn't have warm and cold running water and live in a hut. And I just didn't want that. I hated when the missionaries came. I felt guilty. You knew that God was calling. I knew that he's calling me to a mission field. Well, he did. It just wasn't Africa. And now to commit. You know, people, they commit crimes. What does that mean? It's you're perpetrating an action against someone or something else. So when we commit ourselves to God, when we're Christians and God calls us to a ministry, God calls us to do work in the church. Well, I don't want to work in a nursery, in babies. Most times over the nursery door has, they shall not all sleep, but they all will be changed. Turn, if you will, to 2 Timothy, the first chapter. Why Christians are called to commitment. Get out your Bibles, your glow-in-the-dark Bible, whichever one you have. We'll start with verse 8. Do verse 8 and 9. Now, that's not the right one. I messed up with my paper clips here. There we go. Verse 8 and 9. Nope. 2 Timothy. There we go. Now. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord. Well, it was plain that we're not ashamed. We testify. I love the Lord. He's done so much for me, and I can look over my life and how he's protected me and guided me and moved me around different places, different churches, met different people. To where I am today. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, Paul said to Timothy, but join with me in the suffering for the gospel and for the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. When God calls you to do something, he does it for a reason. God has a purpose in everything that he does. We don't understand it. It could be teaching us something or moving us in a different direction. Or maybe sometimes we need a good paddling. I hated that. I knew when I'd done something wrong, I'd have to face Mom and how she knew. Go get the leather. It was about this long, about this wide, had three holes in the end with a handle that my older brother made in wood shop before he took off to the army. Coward. He said, "Here, Mom, this is for the boys." She knew how to use it. Glad she did. God has called us to a holy calling. So, the commitment level, Christians are called out. Okay? Turn to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 6. We're going to start with verse 14. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Baal, unbelievers? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. If you're born again, if you are a Christian today, you are a temple of God. And everything that you do, everything that you say, every place you go, guess who goes with you? Be careful where you go. Be careful what you say. You are the temple of God. Now I lost my place. Oh, here it is. It didn't move, I did. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. We're called out of the evil world. We're called out, and we don't need to be participating in the things that the world is doing and still try to hang on to God. You ever try that? I'm here to tell you it doesn't work. See, I'm a preacher's kid. I grew up in a Christian home. It didn't make me a Christian. But I knew how to act. I knew how to talk. I knew the words to say. I knew the words to all the songs. I could act like a Christian, sound like a Christian, look like a Christian. But I wasn't until I came to the place in my life where I had to make a commitment to God. I remember that day. I was 14 years old in Maiden Lane Church of God. Harold Boyer, Dr. Boyer, was preaching. I don't know anything about this. I don't remember what he preached about, but I remember God dealing with me. And so I made a commitment. Did I always keep that commitment? No. And I'm ashamed to say that. No, I didn't. Because I knew better. I got out in the world and I got working on the farm, and you work on the farm and kind of went astray. But here we're committed. When we make that commitment, separate ourselves, it's a choice that we each make. Everything we do in our Christian life is our choice. Nothing is forced upon us. You will make a commitment, and you will stick by it. You can say yes or no. I will, with your help, or no, I just got other things I need to do. Some people try to hold on to God. Oh, God save me. I'm. They hold on to God one hand, and the other hand, they're still holding on to their former life. They enjoy doing some of those things. We cannot serve God. Turn back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 24. In my Bible, they're red letters. Guess who said it? Jesus said, no one, now who does that include? No one can serve. Now, when you serve something, when you're a servant of someone, they control your life. A servant, a slave. When you put yourself under the control of someone, you serve them and you are at their every whim. So, Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. It is impossible to do. To serve, let them rule my life. You can't let God rule my life and Satan rule my life at the same time. It is impossible to do. So we are called out of the evil world into a world of holiness and righteousness. So you can't serve two masters. If you will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despised by the other, you cannot serve both God. Why do you say money? Mammon, money. Money is not the root of all evil. It's the love of money. And when money guide your life, when that's your source, everything you do is after that dollar bill that's not worth much anymore. Just go to the gas pump. You can't do that. You cannot serve both God and money. The love of money is the root. And then everything springs from that. So we're called out of that. We're called out of the old life of sin. Now, a lot of times we like to pick and choose who God's going to save and who he's not. Oh, they're so bad. Don't have a snowflake's chance in August. They've killed somebody, they've done adultery things, and they've done all these things. How can God forgive them? And if you start listing the things that you did, how could God save me? See, a person who is called out of a sinful life, they love the presence of God. And when we've talked about the presence of God this morning in our Sunday school class and how David in Psalms 22 felt abandoned by God. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? And Jesus quoted that on the cross. We love God's presence, his purpose. his people. You love people, God's people. So Christians are called out. Now also Christians are called in. Well, how can that be? Turn to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5. We want to start at verse 15. Boy, do I need new glasses. No, that's 2 Corinthians. How many caught that? Nobody. You didn't know where I was going. 2 Corinthians, starting with verse 15, and we're going to read through 17. It says, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So, from now on, we regard no one with a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way. Lost my place again. Oh, looking at the wrong place. He died for all, that those who should no longer live for them, but for him who died for them and was raised again, so that from now on we regard no one in a worldly point of view, although we once regarded Christ in this way. So we do not so do so no longer. Therefore, why is therefore, therefore? It just means because of the previous statement, what was previously said. We say this, now therefore, because of this, because of what I just said, if anyone, and I have a problem with the predestinationalists, they think that somebody's going to be predestined to go here and somebody's predestined to go there. But you're going to have to throw John 3:16 out. You're going to have to throw this verse out. Anyone, whosoever. If anyone is in Christ, remember we're called in. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We are called to be in Christ. What does it mean to be in Christ? Those who are baptized, the word baptized means to be what? It's totally surrounded, totally engulfed. And when you go in a baptistry and they put you on, you're totally engulfed in the water. And if you're in Christ, you're totally engulfed in him. We're called to be in Christ. You see, Christ died on the cross to do what? To reconcile us back, to bring us back to that fellowship with his Father. Human beings, us. The whosoever. He brought us back to reconcile the world to himself. That's why he died. All those who accept him as Lord and Savior, their lives now become new. The old has passed away. I've known people. I had a man in the congregation when I was in Missouri. Missouri, if you live south of Highway 44, it's Missouri. If you live north of Interstate 44, it's Missouri. So that way you know where you're from. That was for free. I don't know why I said that. All those who accept the Lord, their lives now become new creatures in Christ. We have a whole new thought system. We have an old new vocabulary. We get rid of the old vocabulary. We have a new one now. And to be baptized into Christ, to be covered with Christ, I had a man, oh, he was an older gentleman that I had the privilege of baptizing. And when I brought him up out of the water, he told me, I felt like I could have just kept right on going. He had a problem with cigarettes. They keep him out of heaven? No, they didn't. How about your heart? Is it right with God? So God has to work on some people, and we need to allow God to do that. So when God calls us into himself, he calls us into service, he calls us to commit ourselves to that calling. Whatever it is, as long as it's not the nursery or the teenage girl Sunday school class, I'll do whatever, but not them. I don't want to be in the nursery, and I don't want to be around a bunch of 14-year-old giggly girls. I taught the 14-year-old girls class. I know. When we're called into service, when we're called into a commitment to God, God gives us a different way of looking at people. You're more compassionate to people. You're more in tune with their needs. And you want to help. You want to do what you can. And the Bible says, all that you do in word or deed, do as unto the Lord. And when you do something for the Lord like that, you're fulfilling your commitment. We should want others to enjoy that new creature status. New life. And I've seen people get up from an altar. They've given their heart to the Lord, and they get up from the altar, and they're crying. You know, tears are streaming, and they're so happy. And some of them are laughing and crying. They just, everything's new. The old is gone. The sins have been forgiven. The guilt is gone. They got something new. But it doesn't stop there. Well, when I was a kid, I was in youth camp, and I committed myself to the Lord, and I guess that is all I needed to do. No. There are times in my life where I had to recommit. Re means that prefix, do it over again. I had to do it over again. I had to recommit my life to God and to his service. Four-point sermon, sorry. Christians are called down. Not only are we called out, we're called in, we're called down. Turn to 1 Peter. chapter 2. Verse 21. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. And you do the study of Jesus and his walk and how he was persecuted, how he was maligned, how he was lied about. Sometimes Christians are called down into the valley of the shadow of death, where there's suffering and pain. You say, well, why? If I'm a child of God, why is he allowing this? Remember, it said everything that God does, he has a purpose. And this purpose, in the end, will always be good for you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, shadows won't hurt you, but just the idea. We're going through a bad time. We're going through some trials and troubles and tribulations. Why? God has a purpose. So don't get mad at God when you're going through these things. He's, I got a purpose. I have a reason. If you just be patient and let it do its work, then. For these things do what? It gives patience and all these things that he gives you when you endure. So sometimes we're called down to suffering, testing, trials. We don't like those. We don't like those at all. I'm a Christian now. Everything is rosy and everything. No. It was never promised that. You're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. What's the next part? Yeah. I'll be right there. Because I'm going through it with you. Isn't that a comfort? 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 12. He's telling Timothy. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. That doesn't sound very exciting to me. Persecuted. Well, everybody else seems like they're being bad, and they're doing good, and they're getting along just fine in the world, and things are going their way, but they're not a Christian, and I'm a Christian, and things just seem to not going well, and I got these trials and tribulations, troubles. They don't have them, but I do. So what's going on, God? And sometimes he calls us down into that, so they will teach us a lot of things. Patience. When you ask God for patience, guess what? He's going to put you in situations where you need patience. And usually it's with somebody you just don't want to be patient with. I know. So we're called down in the testing. You see, God always has a purpose for what he allows. God, you allowed this to happen? Yes. Don't you love me anymore? Yes. Did I do something wrong? No. I'm testing your faith. I'm seeing what you're made of, what your metal is, if you're going to stand up. And if he tests your faith and you pass, then he'll test you with something else. It's like, when does this testing stop? When you breathe your last. God has special help for Christians. We're called to go down through this valley of the shadow of death. For I'm with you. Whew. You can handle it then. Knowing that God is right there beside you, holding your hand, lifting you up, carrying you, whatever he needs to do. And how many times have he carried one of us through the valley of the shadow of death? He carries us because we're just too weak to walk. And he has to carry us. Number four, Christians will be called up. Turn back to 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4. Starting with verse 13. We'll go down to verse 18. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him, those who have died. According to the Lord's own words, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. Why? For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with a trump call of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And if after that, we who are still alive and left will be caught up. See that? With them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so that we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, there's that therefore, encourage one another with these things. No matter what you're going through in this life, and you're sticking to your commitment, say, I've committed myself to the Lord, this is what I'm going to do. It doesn't matter what happens, I'm going to do it. I'm going to fulfill it because I've committed. I've promised. You know, Christians throughout the years have looked forward, and we hear a lot of preaching about the Lord's return. And he is coming back in the clouds. And we're going to go up there forever to be with him, not on this earth. You see, this earth, the Bible says, will be dissolved with fervent heat. That means it's gone. Not to be made over again, not to do whatever they say is going to happen. But we're going to be called up to be with the Lord, forever to be with Him. And I think of those who have gone on before us, and boy, they are enjoying heaven. And I get a little envious. I still look at Willie's picture and I say, you know what? She's up there. What's wrong with this picture? I'm not there. Tuesday will be the 1 year anniversary, 15th. She's in heaven. I look at that picture and that smile she has, and just, oh, I'm so glad. She was cremated. We had her cremated. So Tuesday, on the 1 year anniversary, Holly and I are going to go bury her ashes. That's not her. Fact is, they're not ashes. They're just ground up bones. It's just bones. And so we're going to do that. But she was called up into heaven, and now she's enjoying that. She knows what it's like. She knows what it feels. She knows who's there. She, something wrong. Scripture say, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them. Right. That love Him. That place is prepared. I think the translators goofed up when they said He's going to go prepare a place. You know, it's, well, maybe my room still needs painted. And, you know, and I know Willie, she was a theme person, and she probably got decorations all, and my mind goes berserk on that. It's prepared before the foundation of the world, the Bible says. That place that we're going to, that prepared place for those who love Him, those who keep their commitment. That's why we're called to commitment. So when we leave this earth, we will go up to be absent in the body is to be present with who? The Lord. I wonder what He looks like. Does He still have the scars in His hands? So I have a question. How's your commitment level? On your commitment meter, where is it at? Is it full? You're doing your commitment. You're promising. You promised God. You committed. Are you? Worship team can come up. Am I fulfilling my commitments? Am I doing all that as well? How about my commitment level is maybe it's half. Well, you say half's better than none. Well, yeah, but God wants it all. When you've promised your all, Bible says, forsake not, you know, completing the vow that you made, the commitment. What's your worth? Your word worth? Anything? Well, maybe it's about half, and, you know I'm not committed. I know I made a commitment, and I know I'm not doing all that I should do, but... You know, life's been tough for me, and I just, and maybe it's down to a quarter of a tank, your commitment level. You're just kind of ignoring your commitment because you've committed to other things. If you're too busy to fulfill your commitment, you're too busy. And when you promise God something, then He expects you to fulfill that. He has fulfilled every promise that he has made to you, and he wants us to do the same. He set the example, it says. How's your commitment level? Maybe you need to recommit today. And let the Holy Spirit check your commitment meter. How's it doing? Am I running on full or am I running on empty? I need to recommit. Because I know I'm not doing what I promised I would do. I have failed God in not keeping my word. How's your commitment level? You want to be called up one day? And be called up in the air to forever be with the Lord for all eternity? We're not promised tomorrow. That's why God says, be ready. Be ready. When you take a vacation, you don't wait the day you leave to start packing your suitcase. That's just me. You plan ahead. You know where you want to go, and you know what you need to do on the trip, and so you make ready for that. And if you want to go to heaven when you leave this earth, then there's some things you got to do, and commitment is the first thing. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. When you commit them to the Lord, you are giving over control of your life and your body to him, and it's not yours anymore. When you commit your life to him, good things come in sometimes weird ways through trials and troubles and tribulations. Would you stand with me, please, this morning? And if you need someone to come and help you and pray with you, if you have a need, you just need to talk it out with somebody, you come over here and someone will help you. And maybe you just need to just do a one-on-one with God, do some eternal business to recommit and rededicate in your life to what you've promised God. Say, God, I'm sorry. I haven't done what I promised you. And from now on, with your Holy Spirit's help, I'm going to fulfill that. And if God is speaking to your heart, the Holy Spirit is tugging on your heart, you need to come down here. Have some, you can pray with, and I'll guarantee you, if you step out and come down here, there's going to be a bunch of people back here praying for you. Not figuring out why you're there, they're just praying for you. And same way over here. There's just something about coming to an altar and have someone put their arm around you and say, how can I pray for you? Lord, this morning we're so grateful and thankful that you kept your commitment to us. That every word you spoke, you have fulfilled. And Lord, those times when we committed ourselves to you, it's a choice that we have to make. Lord, today we have another opportunity to make that choice. To commit our life to you, to commit ourselves to you, to commit our home to you, our marriages, whatever. And commit them to you. Give them to you. For you to control. Just surrender your life. You surrendered your life to the cross. And now we need to surrender our life to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a need, please come. Please come and get your eternal business done before you walk out of this door. You'll be so glad you did.
be